Well, seven weeks ago today, believe it or not, we gathered together on Easter Sunday to celebrate Jesus' victory over sin and death. We talked about how for Jesus' disciples, this was an encounter with something totally new in the resurrection of Jesus. It was the beginning of a new creative work by God that was consistent with who God was. For a God who declared in Isaiah, look, I'm about to do a new thing. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Jesus' resurrection was a new thing in a history of God doing new things. So throughout the season of Easter, we've discovered stories in Scripture where God does a new thing and then human beings respond to it to encounter a richer, a fuller, a deeper life saturated with purpose and meaning and hope and love. Thomas showed us how our faith stretches. The disciples on the road to Emmaus showed us how our understanding of Scripture grows. God's call of Abraham showed us how our sense of purpose and vocation deepens. Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners showed us how our understanding of holiness expands. Gentiles becoming a part of the early church showed us that our welcome gets wider. Then last week, Paul showed us that God's new thing happens in us. In us. Today we finish on this Pentecost Sunday, a fitting conclusion to this series as we discover that God's new thing is Spirit-powered. When God does a new thing, God's Spirit empowers us as we step into it. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us and transform us, that we might live for you and bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture readings this morning both come from the book of Acts. First, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then Acts chapter 2. Listen for God's word. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Jesus replied, it isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages. They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, what does this mean? Others jeered at them, saying, they're full of new wine. Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's what Jesus tells his disciples. That's what he promises them right before his ascension. And then just a few weeks later, it happens at Pentecost. This new thing of Jesus' resurrection, God's new creation project of restoring and healing everything that's broken, would be continued by ordinary people empowered by the Holy Spirit. Power. We human beings have an interesting relationship with power, don't we? I mean, on the one hand, it's something we crave, right? If power is the ability to produce an effect, to act, or authority or influence over others, then we're pretty keen to have it. We like to be able to influence, to act upon another person or an object or something else in creation and have an effect on it. So much of human history is about power grabs and people doing everything they can to get power and to hold on to power. And on the other hand, sometimes I think it's like we're afraid of power. We're scared of power because we've seen the harm that it can do, the devastation and the corruption that frequently accompanies it. Or maybe we're afraid of the sense of responsibility that comes with it, or perhaps the fear of failure. Somewhere in the middle, there's a healthy understanding of power as energy and ability to do good, to help others and ourselves flourish and experience flourishing. After all, there's a difference between power over and power with and for. There's a difference between power over and power with and for. Of course, power is necessary for life. Power and energy drive life and processes from factories to farms to our human bodies. Power and energy. And a car cannot drive without the power generated by a gasoline or battery-powered engine. Our bodies can't function without the power generated by breathing in oxygen, taking in the nutrients and the calories from the food that we eat. And we can't step into God's new thing, whatever that new thing is, without the power of the Holy Spirit. God's personal, energizing presence. In Scripture, God's Holy Spirit is always associated with creative power. In Genesis 1, when nothing existed but the chaos of uncreation, the Holy Spirit hovered and brought forth life. The Spirit helped empower things into existence. As God's story continues, we see several instances where God's Spirit is poured out on certain people to empower them to do certain things for God. Joseph is filled with the Spirit and given the power to interpret dreams. A man named Bezalel is empowered with the Spirit, with the creative genius to create and design beautiful art for the tabernacle. Israel's prophets are filled with God's Spirit, giving them the ability to see history from God's point of view and communicate it to God's people. The power connected to God's Holy Spirit is not a power over, it's a power with and for. It's not a power over and against God and God's people, it's a power for and with God's people and purposes. The beginning of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke is defined by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descends and rests upon him. Right after this, Luke tells us that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit as he went into the wilderness. And there he had the power to resist the temptations of the evil one. Then Luke says Jesus returned to his hometown in the power of the Holy Spirit, where he stands up in his home synagogue and proclaims, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In other words, God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin God's new creation, to begin God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. God's new thing is energized, is propelled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' mission is Spirit-powered. He knew that. Power not over and against people in God's purposes, but power for and with people and God's purposes. So is it any wonder then that the beginning, so is it any wonder then that the mission and ministry of the disciples post-Jesus begins the same way that Jesus' own ministry begins, with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? The disciples experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit as they're gathered together, waiting for what Jesus promised, that they would receive power to continue his ministry, to be his witnesses. And as Luke tells it, they hear the sound like the rush of a mighty wind filling the house. Wind is power and energy. They see what look like individual flames alighting on each one of their heads, resting on them. Fire is power and energy. Wind and fire were both associated with God appearing in power in the Old Testament. Then Luke says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. The same Spirit that had hovered over chaos to bring forth light. The same Holy Spirit that empowered the prophets to speak God's truth. The same Spirit that permeated Jesus Christ, empowered his ministry, now rests on them and in them and through them, empowering them. And while I'm sure in the moment it was just bewildering and chaotic and wild and wonderful, what is clear is that once again, God's Spirit is the source of power for God's people to live on mission for God, to step into something new. Just look at all the ways we see the creative power at work because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in this passage. Just the promise of the Holy Spirit was enough, was powerful enough to gather 100 or so people together to wait. The power of the Holy Spirit equipped and empowered each person in that room to speak a language other than their native tongue. The power of the Holy Spirit got the attention of the crowd gathered in Jerusalem on the street. Maybe it was the sound of the wind or the holy chaos of people joyfully speaking about Jesus in all new languages at the same time. The power of the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to tell the story of Jesus and the mighty works of God in ways that people could understand. The power of the Holy Spirit emboldened Peter, the man who denied Jesus 3 times, never preached a sermon in his life, to stand up before the masses and declare that this was what God promised was going to happen in the prophet Joel, when God's Spirit would be poured out on all people, not just certain people, all people, and all would have a chance to call on Jesus and be saved. The power of the Holy Spirit calls the crowds not just to hear this message, but to ponder it, to receive it, to the extent that some 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus that day. So this isn't economic or political or military power won or acquired. This is a renewable energy source, a renewable energy always present from a personally present God. This is enabling the disciples, giving them new abilities to do what Jesus has called them to do, whether through inspired words or miraculous works or simply through the power of their shared life together in community. This is the power to know, tell, share, embody the very story of Jesus. This is a power with and for God's purposes to continue the very mission and ministry of Jesus. This is the power they need to step into God's new thing. And it's the Holy Spirit. Friends, we have access to the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Holy Spirit. Pentecost set the Holy Spirit loose. Just like Jesus, just like the disciples, God's Spirit fills us, rests on us, saturates us, and we have access to a power that is wild and wonderful so that we too can participate in whatever new thing God is doing, so that we too have the power to continue the very work of Jesus. So that, as Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, God can do abundantly far more than we could ever ask for or imagine by God's power at work within us. Because God doesn't do a new thing and then leave us without power or guidance. God knows that we can't step into God's new thing on our own strength and might. God doesn't leave us powerless or presentless. God gifts us with the Spirit who empowers us, who enables us with capabilities to share about God in word and deed, to be with and for other people and for God. I remember the days before GPS, believe it or not. I remember on family trips that we would frequently stop at rest stops or welcome centers right inside the state line of whatever new state that we had just entered. And we would do three things. Well, four things if you count going to the bathroom. We would get gas for the car. We would get a map of the state that we had just gone into, the new state we had just gone into. Yeah, you know, those paper-folded things. And we would get snacks out of the back of the trunk or the car to eat. Because we were somewhere new, we wanted to make sure that the car had power. We wanted to make sure that we had power and energy, and we wanted to make sure that we knew where we were going. We wanted guidance and direction, and the rest stop or the welcome center was the source for all of that, to anyone who needed it, including us. That's kind of what the power and presence of the Holy Spirit did for the disciples at Pentecost and does for each of us every time that God does something new and then invites us into it. It's like the Holy Spirit waits for us at the threshold of God's new thing, waiting for us to tap into the power with and for that is there. We're empowered. We're given the energy and the strength and the courage and the love to step in to new territory, to do something hard, to stretch our faith, to live for Jesus, to love our neighbor, to widen our welcome, to come to a new understanding. Sometimes we're propelled by mighty winds. Sometimes we're blown by a gentle breeze. Sometimes we're coal that's fanned into full flame. And we're given purpose and direction so that we know where God would have us go. And the Spirit is that constant power source that goes with us, available to us. Equal opportunity power lender. Not certain people, all people. Power with and four. And you know, you can tell when we're Holy Spirit powered and when we're not. Wind and fire are powerful after all because we see their effects. I can remember Hurricane Hugo coming through in the late 1980s, and I remember my parents taking me outside at one point when it wasn't pouring down rain, but it was still super windy. And I remember seeing the grass in our front yard laying down flat from the effects of the wind. I remember a neighbor's detached garage catching on fire one time and us walking down the street to make sure that they were okay, and just how hot the fire was, even from the distance, the safe distance of the street, and how devastatingly quick that garage was gone. We see what wind does. We see what fire does. We see what the Holy Spirit does by the effects. We see the power the Spirit gives through the effects. Finding the strength to do something hard. Bringing people together who otherwise would not have been together in unity. Making possible a different kind of life together that is beautiful and inspiring. People creating beautiful things, beauty for God. People discerning and tapping into their gifts and their giftedness and coming alive. People being able to speak without worrying about being perfect about Jesus and his love. People accepting Jesus and following him. Movements for holiness and change. Renewed passion for God and for justice. Renewal in the church. People serving others with unconditional love. And on we could go. All evidence of the Holy Spirit's power, of being Holy Spirit powered. So friends, the next time that God does a new thing, may we not try to just push through on our own and in our own strength. May we not speed through life pretending like we don't notice. May we not stop in panic and paralysis and close ourselves off to what God is doing. May we take a moment, maybe lots of moments, and tap into the never-ending, always present power source that is the Holy Spirit living inside each and every one of us. God's personal presence powering us to step into the new thing. To step into the new things that come with being Jesus' witnesses and living out his mission with and for us.